Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had quite a week this week. I am so proud of the people who actually came out. It was just really a beautiful, beautiful situation. And I tell you that, you know, sometimes that, you know, you say one thing and another thing happened. I did not anticipate that many people would show up for the event. Well over 300 people showed up, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I'm telling you, just like it is. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We are in a crisis here in the city of Benton Harbor, and we got to get better. We have to get better. We are in a crisis here in the city of Benton Harbor like never, ever before. See, I do not speak carelessly or recklessly, but with a definite objective of helping the people, all about helping the people, especially those of my race, you know, to understand, and to realize themselves. I want them to realize themselves. That's where we are missing the boat, you know. And, you know, to liquidate people, you stand by depriving them of their memories. They destroy your books, your culture, your history, and someone else writes the other book, give you another culture, invent another story. After that, people slowly begin to forget what they are and who they are and what they were. And the world around you forget even faster. They really just don't care. You see, and here's one thing. Attacking the rich, it doesn't make me envious of them. I'm not envious of them because I know where they're going. It is self-defense when I attack the rich. It's self-defense. Their hoarding of wealth is the cause of poverty. The rich aren't just indifferent to poverty. They create it and maintain poverty. They love poor people suffering. The rich get richer and the poor get poor. Then here's the thing. Rich people walk around like they are poor. You see, poor people walk around like they're rich. They want to be rich. That's why they stay poor. You see, you stay poor because you're trying to act like you're rich and you're not rich, giving these billionaires our money. We walk around with billionaires on us all the time, making these billionaires richer and richer and richer. Somewhere we are going to have to get smarter. We're going to have to know that what we're doing is not the right thing. We need to know that because that's very, very, very important. And we have to deal with it because it's reality. You see, whether we like it or not, it is reality. And we have to know that. That's crucial. That's crucial for the people to know. We have to know that that's how important that is. We sit around here, walk around here with all this billionaire stuff on us, and we actually think we're doing something. We want to act like we're successful to each other, knowing all the time that we're not successful. You see, there's nothing more important than planning for of your children. I know how difficult that could be. I know, because you want to keep up with the Joneses, you know. But if we take the time out to start planning for the future of our children, some of the stuff that's going on would not be happening. I can guarantee you that, you know. But we go beyond the call of duty to try to make ourselves. It's okay to make yourself look good, but you don't need that Louis Vuitton bag. Walk around here with a $5,000 bag with $100 in it. I can put a $5,000 in a brown bag and be happy. You see, but it's obvious you have to have a Louis Vuitton. You see, all this designer stuff. It don't make no sense. What we're doing is do not make any sense at all. So we have to change the way we do business. We have to change what we're doing. We have to make sure that we're putting our children first. There is no case where our children should not be first. You know, and I know, we can't be black and proud and a nigga too. You just can't be. I don't care how hard you try. You know, see, white folks is planning for three generations. Black folks is planning for Saturday night. The goal is to win, not look like you win. You see, I would rather, you know, like I said earlier, I would rather walk around here with a brown paper bag with $5,000 in it than a Louis Vuitton purse with $100 in it. It just looked like you're winning. You see, I would rather ride around in a Chevy, a Buick, you know, than go around and trying to, you know, Mercedes Benz and all this expensive stuff. Long as it get me from plan A to plan B and sometimes C, I'm happy. You see, that don't discourage me, you see, and it doesn't pay to be discouraged. You know, I know racism is an issue. It's an issue. It's all around. As a black person, we are subject to it. But we're subject to it by the way we do things also. You see, they know that we're not going to come together and stand up and fight together. Can you imagine 50 black people standing up and on one accord? Can you? That's a whole country. That's why now they're trying to dilute it. They're bringing in these different people from other countries now, you know. Because one thing about a black person ain't working for $4. These people they bring in will. You talking about these folks they bring in right now, they'll work for $4. They'll work for $3. You know, black folks ain't working for $4. They ain't working for $5. They not working for $6. They not working for $7. They not even working for $8. Black folks ain't working for $10 now. They want $20. They want $30. And they'll give you $5 worth of work. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And here's something that people need to learn about the system. You can plug anybody into this system, and they'll do the bidding for the evil empire. That's right. They can plug you in, and you'll think that you're with them, and they love you, and you will start doing their bidding. And don't even know that you're doing their bidding. You will start doing their bidding. You know, they can fire this guy tomorrow and pull someone else into that situation. And that person will do their bidding. It'll continue just like it is. It's the system, you see. The system is designed to do exactly what it do. You know, racism is a problem. But racism is because of what we do too. We don't do nothing. We had all those people at my place on yesterday. We fed them all. Fed every last one a nice hot meal. A nice hot meal. They enjoyed every minute of it. But the problem is we don't get together like that. I didn't expect that many people. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't. I was calling, texting, doing everything I could to get people there. People said they was coming, and I didn't believe they was coming. Sometimes I think black people is like white people to me. You know, when white people say something, I don't believe nothing they say. I don't believe nothing they say. I don't care what it is. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. And black folks same way. You know, they with you today and against you tomorrow. That's how black people work. Whoever giving them what they want and what they need at that time. That's how black people work, you see. But we got to get better. See, we can win this thing, you know. We can win this thing. And there's nothing more important than win. And remember this. A lie does not become the truth. Wrong does not become right. Even if you are white, evil does not become good. Just because your friend, your family, your brother, your sister, your mother, your daddy, say something. Do not need any help. Remember that. The truth can stand alone. And there's nothing, so help me God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the truth, you know. And, you know, when I speak of what happened to the Black Holocaust, let's talk about that just for a second. From 1619 to 1861 and the present, more than 20 million black folks were sold into slavery. They're being sold today. What they're saying, anybody has, well, everybody has a price, and anybody can be sold and bought. That's what they're saying. Slave traders made the greatest Holocaust in the world. Over 35 million was killed by slave traders. That's right. Over 35 million. And they don't want you to know that. That's why they don't want you to know your own history. They don't want you to be able to be a critical thinker. They don't want you to be part of stuff like that. And black folks, they like white leaders. Not all of them, don't get me wrong, not all of them, but most black individuals prefer that something is told to them by a white person than a black person. With this water crisis, I was telling them over and over again that there was something wrong with the water. I was telling them because we was out there. My team was out there. And just this week alone, 50 people water bill was paid, one as high as $1,300. It was paid. We're getting other agencies to pay other people so we can get that. We want 100 people water bill paid because they're threatening to cut water off now. These people, you know. And here's the thing. You got a black government here. Nine black folks, which is being over, the Whirlpool oversee it. But you got nine black folks here. Seven good elected officials. Let's say six and a half. I got to get this other person a half because she haven't done anything yet to make me think otherwise. I got to give her a half. And it goes on and on and on. I cannot see how anybody could mistreat their own people, for white folks, for a few dollars so they can like you. I know them. I've been to the White House. So what? I don't mean nothing. You ain't saying nothing. I've been to the governor mansion. That's all because you're a slave. That's all you are. You're a yes-um. That's exactly what you will. Then, you know, when we think about the people here, you know, especially this mayor, you know, and I got to say that I love the Nation of Islam. And I will never have nothing else to do with them until they clean their house here. I won't have nothing to do with them. Nothing. Because right now in my eyesight, I see a fraud. And I won't have nothing to do with them. I don't want to have nothing to do with people who say one thing and then do another thing. That's when it concerns all the people and all the hell black people have been through. Every single day is something with black folks. And we get, you know, we got our very own Sambo. And we won the Sambo. We had over 31,255 people voted for my Sambos. And we won, came home with the trophy and also the money. And, but they know. They, you know, they read about this guy. We don't even know how this mayor, how many people have died because of a decision that this mayor made that actually hurt our people. Actually, really, we don't even know the fact of how much damage they done. When you talking about elected officials doing things to hurt other people, you see, for a few dollars, that's all they're giving them. If they gave you $100,000, a person's life is worth a lot more than that. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with black folks out here trying to destroy black folks for white folks, and they're only receiving a few dollars under the table, a few nickels and dimes. Do you think they live it? See, that's another thing. You know, we have not been living. We've been surviving, you see. We have survived since 1619. We haven't lived. There's a big difference than living and surviving. They say we are survivals, which is a true statement. We are survival. We have survived all the hell as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years of nothing but abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, raping at will to this day. And we got the nerve to want to be like these people. You got to be sick. There's not a reason in this world that you want to be like a Marcus Muhammad. There's not a reason. Marlena Seeks. Not a reason. A Dwayne Seeks. There's not a reason in this world. Your children should not want to be like these people. Their children should not want to be like them. That's the truth. And that's nothing but the truth. So help me God. That is the truth. All the hell we've been through, and here you are tiptoeing around here with these white devils thinking you're saying so. We got more samples in Benton Harbor. We got over 500 samples here. Over. We got the Trinborn. We got the Ron Singleton. We got the Sharon Henderson, whose husband, she got him a job on the police department. He's a sample, too. He's a sample. We got we got this Renato Triplick. Man, we are a sick community, a community that want to please these white devils. You know, black folks running around here. You know, they even had a Sambo ball. Can you believe that? They had a Sambo ball. Unheard of. These Sambos were walking around here like they oil robbers or somebody. You know, we got caught in thinking that they got a halo over their head. They had the three sixes on their forehead. And you can tell them. Most of the Sambos here are made by Whirlpool. Most of the Sambos here are made by Whirlpool Corporation. He shake them up. He shake them up. That's what he do. And we accept it. We accept it. We allow them to get away with it. They got over $100,000 missing, unaccountable. And nobody knows where it is. They ain't going to let the public, but they're not going to say nothing, no way. Black people ain't going to say nothing. Well, most of them, they know these people. They're related to these people some kind of way. And they're not going to say nothing. This guy, Ron Simmons, stole a whole radio station. That radio station don't belong to him. He stole it from the people. He's a thief. That's what he is. He's a low-down, stinking thief. That's what he is. And you got this training boy and had him on this last time all the pipes were spinning with $10 million. That boy don't know what he's talking about. He was just talking. And the girl didn't even the person who was handling the radio didn't correct him. So she's just as bad as he is. I wanna get on her, but I wanna give her a benefit of doubt because I know she probably didn't know. But I tell you one thing, if I ever get on her show, I'm going to give it to her, too. You know, if you're going to say something, make sure you have your facts together. Do your homework. You got all these Sambos running. They're giving these Sambos energy. That's what they're doing. They're giving these Sambos energy. And anytime you give these Sambos energy, this is what happens. Well, look, I'm going to close out. I'm going to bring in my first guest, Denise. She's going to tell her story, and trust me, she do have a story to tell. So you guys out there, I know you out there, what we want to do, we want to make sure that we get our facts right. And I'm going to bring in my good friend, Dionice, from beautiful, sunny, she's close to San Jose, if I remember correctly. But my good friend, she will be coming in and doing her thing. And then I'll bring in my good friend, the one and only Big Les. And on that note, I'm going to bring in Dionice. Dionice, talk to me. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. I can hear you well.
Okay. I'm in the mountains of Clear Lake, California, so I'm about 3 hours from San Jose. I'm way up in the boondocks.
Way up there in the mountaintop, yeah. Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm getting close. I'm 71, and I'm trying to stay close.
Bless okay. your heart, girl. Bless your heart.
I'm trying to stay close, because I know where he's coming from.
Absolutely.
I'm here to tell you about, first of all, I want all you mothers and fathers out there that have children that are in these universities, I want you to stop and put everything down. I want you to learn who their friends are. I want you to know everything about that university. No, this is not the time, your time to be free, all right? This is your time to closely monitor your child, even closer than you did when he or she was in kindergarten. And I'm going to tell you why. On November 22nd, 2008, my son, Gregory Johnson Jr., he was brutally murdered in a predominantly white fraternity house. He thought he was amongst friends because we don't teach our children to hate. We never have. I never met a black person that taught their child to hate a white any person of color or anyone because of their color.
Go ahead. I was
notified at 9:30 that night. Four police officers came to my home where it did not happen. Okay, it did not happen in Lake County. This happened in San Jose, down in the Silicon Valley, one of the richest communities probably in the entire United States, if not in the world. The police came to my home and told me that my son, who went to that school as a scholar, okay, they didn't teach him anything. They didn't teach him anything. He was already brilliant when he went there. He was self-assured. But the one thing that I didn't teach him was that racists were alive and well, those same kind of ones that were alive and well when my grandmama was born in 1899, and she was a black Indian. Okay, she was Blackfoot Indian. And if anybody else out there doubts that, well, you can talk to me about it, because if your grandma, not that many people are around whose grandmama was born in 1899. All right? It's the same kind of racism that existed then exists now. It's down in the Silicon Valley in San Jose, California. Thieves. They're thick as thieves down there. The police are involved. The mayor is involved. The court system is involved. Everybody that I went to for help when I found out a 6-inch crack on the back of my son's head, you see, they wouldn't let me see him at the coroner's office. I had to wait till I could get him home because they were hoping that I would have, I was asked, the coroner's office asked me if I wanted him cremated. And I told him no. And we were able to raise the money to get him home at the funeral home, because to this day, 15, 16 years later, I still have no complete autopsy report. I was never given pictures. I was given nothing. The case was investigated by the FBI under Obama. And let me tell you something. They said my son hung himself. He had a crack in the back of his head, and I know I'm chopped all up and breaking up and jumping all around because I'm trying to tell you a lot in a little bit of time. They said that my son had committed suicide by hanging. My son had no ligature marks. With an 18-gauge orange extension cord, the kind you use heavy duty that you use outside, he had no ligature marks. And he had a crack. I saw it myself. I took pictures of it. A crack in the back of his head. His neck was broken all the way through. Later, I found out that in that fraternity house, the majority white who he thought, yes, he thought they were his friends, they brutally buck broke him, cracked his skull, and then made up an elaborate story about him killing himself. Now, if you think racism is over, I got something to tell you. You better think again, and you better go through those schools, to those schools, wherever they're at, and find out, learn everybody's name and everything that they, because black people were involved in hiding this also. They hid 33 white boys, one African. They hid what they did to my child so they could go on and live their lives as if they had done nothing. And they will lie, they will steal, and they will kill and smile in your face and tell you, gaslight you and tell you, oh, you crazy.
Mm.
Well, pictures don't lie. I took pictures of my son's head and neck area.
Yeah.
The FBI does not investigate suicide. They investigated a homicide. They refused to give me the FOIA, the information.
Mm.
Because these were rich, wealthy dogs. They're dogs. And I know somebody's listening. Yeah, you're a dog, and you're gonna pay for it just like dogs do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, Ms. Johnson. And I, you know what? I strongly, strongly agree with you. And remember this: they stick together, we don't. You know? Can you imagine if you know we're 50 million strong, and if we stuck together? Stuff like this could never happen in reality. If they know where money separates us, you know, you give someone a few dollars and before you know it, they'll change the truth, you know. But, you know, a lie is a lie. You know, I don't care who's telling it. If you're telling a lie, it's going to catch up to you. A lie has to lie down and go to sleep. It could no longer stand by itself. And Ms. Johnson, I know I've been knowing you for a long time now, since this happened. And I tell you, I stand with you 100%, Ms. Johnson. And I want you to know that we're here for you. When you first came on, we didn't have such a large listening audience, but now we have a tremendous listening audience. And like I said, over 200,000 in the month of February heard our show, and I'm thinking even more going to hear our show in the month of March when we get to tally. But I want to thank you so much. But look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come on once a month, and let's talk about your son a little bit more. Let's keep his name alive. Is that good for you?
Yes. Can I say one more thing, Reverend Pinky?
Go ahead.
I sent you a flyer because this was the first time that happened. This was not the first time that happened. I believe I counted 6 or 8 young men that were killed. It's some kind of ritualistic thing that they were doing. They're down there killing them black kids. Thank Most High that not so many young black men and women are going to that university like they used to. That university has the third largest university budget in the entire United States, if not the world. Okay, you're dealing with the this last president, a president Papazina. She wasn't there when my son was killed, but she was there when a protest broke out because there was a documentary made and that had actually went to the St. Louis Film Festival that was on its way to the Academy Awards before it was squashed.
Can you possibly get a copy of that documentary?
I thought I had sent you one. I'm sorry.
No, send it to me. Send it to me. I love to review it. If you can send it to me either today or tomorrow, I'd love to review it. And not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we'll have you back on and you can tell us what's going on.
They don't want that. They don't want this told. They don't want
it told.
Don't. They want to pretend like, oh, well, you know, this is a – California is very liberal. California is just as racist as Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
The first,
anywhere you find white folks, you're going to find racism.
Yeah.
And
that's
not
right.
All of them are racist now, but you anywhere you find them, you're gonna find racism. And that is,
that's
like
right.
I said, firmly, that is our fault. You, Denise, we are 50 million strong, but they got us so jacked up on this stuff. They got us so jacked up because we think that materialistic thing is the way of life. That's how we view things. We want this and we want that. We like I said, we walk around with a Louis Vuitton bag and with maybe $20 in it, and them devils walk around with a brown bag with $5,000 in it, and people don't get that because you know he looking good. He got a new car. He got that ain't nothing. You could drive an old car. You know I look. I drive a 2006 Chevy. That's what I drive. I'm not motivated by money. I don't care about that. But look, you got a friend in me forever, and I want you to know that. And whatever we can do, we spread the word. We got a full house today, and I want people to start moving. We got to start doing stuff. We don't do enough. We got to start doing stuff. And if you don't want to just don't do it for yourself, do it for your children, like what you're doing for your son. That's a beautiful thing. Well, we don't make it happen.
His documentary was called I'm Free, because that's the only freedom my child ever knew was in death. Honey, we're dealing with slavery. They were jealous of him because he was too smart. He was smarter than all 33 of them wrapped together. They wondered how he could be that smart and that poor.
Yeah.
See, this is how they think. This is how they think. I'm telling you, if you think that your child, because your child is in a university that he said, you better think again. If it's in the United States, you better think again.
Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Peterson.
And thank you. Listen, we're going to get you on. Send me that documentary, and let's you and I, let's get you on at least once a month, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, then. All right, Denise. We'll talk to you soon. Wow, that is unbelievable. I mean, you know, stuff is happening. We allow it, though. Black people allow stuff like that to happen. But let me bring in my good friend, the big guy, the guy with the muscles. The one and only Big Les. Big Les, talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
Good evening, fellow patriots. Hey, that was a compelling story there, Reverend Pinckney. But that's just one story of many stories of States United and the cover-up. They the best cover-up machine in the whole damn world, okay? You were talking about sticking together, and you said 50 million. I'm going to have to re-advise that count, though, Rev, you know, because we might be like 35, 40 million, and the rest is Sambos, okay?
Yeah.
There's that many Sambos out here. You know that, don't you? You know, you said they bring Harvard.
So, look, we got 500, and we're a little bit in the community.
You just a small little town.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's so you might have to revive that 50 million strong And because, you know, when the Sambos sell you out, they don't turn back. And they ain't no good.
They can't turn back.
And we don't want them back. See, and that's the problem. I was just thinking while you was talking there, Reverend, maybe we should get an authentic black card, okay? You get a black card because when we keep on saying we need to stay together as black people, and then you got these pretenders like Leroy and Leronetta, a.k.a. Sambo, coming to our community and selling us down the river. So we got to make sure when they come into town, they say, hey, here's my black card. I'm authentic, okay? Because we got to have some way to identify the authentic, real black people when we say black people stick together. Authentic black people stick together. Sellouts like Sambos, they stick together with their own kind, and they sticking with Bubba and Bubba Soup. They carrying their water for them all the time. And it's hard to beat them because they got the money. And
they got the resources.
They love to be stick they behind on a name brand with jeans and on their feet with with a name brand. You know, they just name brand out the wazoo. Back in the day, Ralph, I didn't want no name brand stuck on my behind. Okay, all right, give me some plain old jeans and I'm okay. Okay, give me some back of the day Levi's. Okay, Levi was the big, that was the working man's jeans. That's the common man's jeans. Okay, Levi. Now they didn't go on sophisticated. Nah, I heard. But that Miss Johnson, I send my condolences to you, but. We got to start teaching our children to be revolutionaries. If he was a revolutionary, they would have been scared to come near him. They would have been scared to even touch him. They would have been even scared to come by him because everybody ain't your friend. I don't care what color they are. Check him out. He just know how to smell when trouble's down the road, when people got that sixth sense on them. I know he had it. I know he knew something was going on with him, but he still tried to be friendly. No. Let me correct you too, Ms. Johnson. I'm not a friendly guy, okay? I ain't never been a friendly guy. Ever since I was 18 and they stuck me for $45, I stopped being friendly to everybody, okay? I learned my $45 lesson. I'm going to take you on face value. I'm going to treat you, and I'm going to keep you arm's length until I find out who you are. And then I'm going to check your DNA and see what kind of pedigree you got as far as being a real soldier. Because if you ain't, I ain't got no time for you. One of the reasons I'm here is, Reverend Pinckney, you're a real damn soldier, man. You know what I mean? I only talk because I ain't got no time for no pretenders, okay? And we need to start teaching our children to be revolutionary because they always have always, they've always taught them to be racist. We've got so many people out here that have been taught to be racism and racist. But then I can't look around. And I'm saying, where's the revolutionaries at? They ain't nowhere to be found. Very few of them. You can run down the street and run down. What, you tell me, Red, where you can find all the revolutionaries at?
Man, you guys, you know what? I tell you, you know what had happened with this Sambo of the Year War had turned into something that I never anticipated. But I wanted to use it as an organizing tool. And that's my success of this thing because, you know, when I talk about – and I did it in a way where people was coming to me. I didn't have to go to them. And I think that, you know, when Houston came on, that was the big thing because we're talking about a major city now. Houston is – they 2 to 3 million strong. And when they came on, they opened the door for everybody else. What we have to do – we have to continue doing what we got to come up with gimmicks. It sounds so terrible for me to say something like this, but in order to get out, yesterday we had over 300 people at my place. Have you been to my church?
Yeah. Remember, I came up there when you had that I think it was a birthday party when you had the Jane Fonda.
Oh yeah, my birthday party when Jane Fonda was there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh man, that was
so
huge then
nice
too.
This is nice too. I tell you, Rad, we had when we first gave that Sambo Awards here, it was 500 people in that hall. Okay.
Yeah.
Because people want to identify.
I may have been there myself. I'm thinking I came to a couple of dinners that y'all had.
Yeah.
When the Sam comes to
this,
fascinating.
This is the first one ever when we had beans and Kool-Aid, okay?
Yeah.
And Sam McPhail was the keynote speaker along with Adolf Mongo, okay? And it was jam-packed, and we gave out awards. See, and we got to have, like, a plaque. See, I read off that list a few weeks ago on the show about all those Sambos that was in there. We got to have a list. And that's what they came, a permanent list, so when people see it from around the country, they'll know who they can deal with. Because I want to know who the Sambos are in Benton Harbor. I want to know who the Sambos in Houston, in Washington, in California. I want to know the Sambos. I know where they are in Detroit, because I don't even deal with them no more. That's how bad it is in Detroit, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
We got to have a national registrar of Sambos. Well, if you make that list, you ain't getting off of it. See, and you might
no.
And then that's going to take a whole lot of future generations to come, because they don't want to make that Sambo list, because once you on there, you out, you never going to get off of it. The tour, these Sambos from selling out the community. And that's the problem, Reverend Pinckney. We have never had a national registrar where we can point out the Sambo, because we let people. And you know what? This is bothers me. I just thought about it. We want to forgive everybody. We got to forgive. No, man, you screwed me one time.
Oh, you know why we want to forgive people? Because you know, in the Bible said you should forgive them. You know, I don't care how much dirt you do to a person, you got to forgive them and stuff like that. You know what? Once you make that list, once you become labeled as a Sambo, you are Sambo for the rest of your life. And if you want to be forgiven, I'm going to let God forgive you. You see what I'm saying?
Thank you.
That's who has the authority to forgive you. I don't have the authority to forgive you.
Right.
I don't have it. You know, because what you have done to my people, like this mayor, for instance, we don't even know how many people that have died from this water. And he was doing the bidding of Whirlpool Corporation, these white devils. That don't make no sense. That don't
really
make
don't.
No sense.
Really
anytime
don't.
You're doing the bidding for something, look, kidney disease. People walk around here right now on dialysis because of him. People walk around with, see, liver, you don't get a transplant. There's no machine. Eventually you die from liver. Heart disease, eventually you die from heart disease. Brain disease, eventually you die from that. And your children grow up with this disease. And nobody seemed to care. See, what I did, I made white folks care. I made them do stuff that they never thought that they could do, and I wasn't scared. They thought that by sending the police to my house that was going to intimidate me. You don't want to intimidate me. Whatever you got from me, bring it on. Bring it on.
That's for
real.
Rev,
talk
I'm telling
to me.
You, man, you're a courageous man, and you always have been. And that's what it's going to take. We need a lot of courageous-minded individuals out here, but we got too many cowards, scaredy cats, yellow streets up the bat. And, I had, speaking of forgiveness, the late Dr. Reverend Joanne Watson, had a discussion with her.
That was my girl. I love that woman. She was strong supporter.
Yeah, I loved her too, man. I stood behind her when they were trying to come after her with that bull crap they was having, you know?
Yeah.
And you could have saw all the people that turned tail and ran and didn't stick up for her. She should have never lost in that position. She was right there next to the president. She was the vice chair of that the city council, okay? And they and they turned it back on the next election. She back on, she number 9, because people stopped voting for her. You know, they didn't vote for her like they did. That's what he's saying. They always want to make an excuse when States United come after you. You're supposed to be standing strong with them, okay? They came after Barbara Rose Collins. I'm standing with her.
Yeah.
They came after John Conyers. I'm standing with them. I'm standing with the people that States United come after. They cannot tell me nothing about my leaders, and they stop choosing my leaders for me. Okay, And that's what the problem we have.
But then, see, one thing about black people, you know that. See, black people believe that they believe that old lousy newspaper. I don't care what they say, they believe what they put. If they say that you killed Joe Blow yesterday, and Joe Blow is still walking around here living, and they act like Joe Blow is dead. This is how black folks feel. They got them trained. They got that real slave mentality. The slavery exists today. You know, they don't even know it. These folks just walk around, and even yesterday they had the nerve to speak out because I was there. If I wasn't been there, if I wasn't there, they wouldn't have said a mumbling word. And they ride on my coattail until I need their help. They ain't helping me do nothing. I'm going to tell you like it is. But I still help them because it's the right thing to do.
Right. Well, that's the kind of man you are, Reverend Pinckney. And if somebody wrote in the paper or something about you, I said, hey, I don't give a damn what you wrote in that paper. All right? I know who Reverend Pinckney is, okay? You can't tell me nothing about none of these people. And Joan Watson had she was a woman of integrity. And
yes,
what they
were
trying to do, I know their games, how they want to play these games with our leaders. They're trying to discredit them. And then we got so many Sambos right backing up their play. Backing up Bubba and Bubba Sue's play. And that's what bothers me the most there, Reverend Pinckney, is that we so gullible when it comes to leadership. When we have great leaders, we don't stand behind them and we don't choose.
No.
You know, I was watching the great story, and Regina King did a great job. She did Shirley. And it's on Netflix. Man, she was my first presidential vote back in the day when I voted.
She was the whip. She didn't hold them up. Matter of fact, she talked like what I would talk like. She talked like me and her talked like alike. She didn't hold them white devils up.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. When you got a leader like that, he should have been all hands on deck. But then, you know, and I had read about Ron Dellum and his betrayal, you know, to her, and also the little Lloyd Fauntleroy, both of them turned their backs on it. And they should have been popping a great leader like her and just turned their back on the white establishment politics. But they didn't do that. They was cowards and sambos. But it bothered me, though, she forgave them. And see, that was the only part of the movie I didn't like, that she forgave those Sambos, Ron Dellum and Lil Roy Fauntleroy. I used to read about those cats. You know, man, they was like traitors back then. I was calling them Sambos back then. And when they turned their back on one of the greatest minds of our time and our generation in the 20th century, man, that's what bothers me the most. We don't stick with our leaders. You know, we have a list like
the one that's
like
helping
you,
us. When they're helping you, we don't see black people are the hardest people in the world to help. You can't help black folks. It's hard. I'm out here. We're paying people water bill. We're giving them water. We don't even know how many lives we have saved. You know, but yet they're willing to come. Here's how I neutralize them. I'm not trying to win no popularity contest, mister. You can say whatever you want. I'm not trying to win no popularity contest with you. I don't care whether you like me or not, because ain't nothing I would not give you that much power over me. So we have to go out here and fight just that way, Big Les.
Well, I would tell you, the Reverend Watson, I'm going to tell you, she gave me the biggest compliment, and I'm going to still remember that when I was on her show doing an interview. She said, Big Les, you've been out here for years, and you've been out here standing with the community, but I ain't never seen you out here like some of those other people that wanted, when you're trying to media jump out, you want to jump in front of the camera. No, that ain't my style. I don't do this for no recognition. I do this because it's the right thing to do for my community. I'm a soldier because of so many other soldiers before me gave me the opportunity to stand up like I am, and even stronger. And the power that we have today, we don't utilize it. And that's what scares me, that we don't understand the power that we have. People around the world know us. They know us. We one of the best and well-known human beings on the damn planet, and we still don't understand that part of it. They can't tell us nothing. They can't do anything to us unless we let them do it to us. And unfortunately, we got a lot of folks that just like, you know, and unfortunately, Miss Johnson's son wanted to get along. You know, they always want to be, you know, hope to be accepted by them. I don't have to be accepted by nobody but God, okay? That's how I look at it.
That's right. And be blessed. Remember this. This is so, so important. When you want these white devils to like you, they're never going to like you. You know, I got a tremendous large following of white folks. I mean, when I say a tremendous, you know, yes, right. Most of the people in Detroit, I got so many people. But one thing I do me. I don't do you. I do me,
that's
whatever.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you just one quick thing. When I went out and got, you know, a lawyer, most times, you know, the lawyer who's going to work for you for free, most likely is going to be white. I have to say this. And he was. And I also went out and got a couple of activists who's willing to work for us. They was white. I got an engineer. I got a scientist. I got these people. I pulled them all together so we can work together. Here's the thing. I'm not ashamed to say I don't know nothing about being a scientist. I don't have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I can practice law, but I can't, you know, in criminal cases, I know about that, but I don't know nothing about no environmental, you know, stuff like that. So when I pulled these folks together, I immediately said one thing to them. I said, look, I'm not here to impress y'all in any kind of way. That's what I told them. I'm not trying to impress y'all because you do what you do and I do what I do. And I said, without my work, this would not have been successful because I know how to deal with the media because I know that they want to hear something terrible, and I'm willing to say what's on my mind. I call a spade, and that's get their attention. And you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make you like me. Don't like me, you know, whatever you do, because then you be calling me. Don't like me. I don't want you to like me. But that's just how I am. That's a quick story. But you go ahead and you tell your story, Rico. We got about 7 minutes, so let's make it happen.
Okay. Hey, Reverend, I like you, man. You know, I love you, man. You are one of the greatest patriots of that I know. And I always was enamored by your stand against the system. And when we wrote letters to each other, that's when I fell in love with you as a human being. You was a human being that I became to respect and love. I was saying, man, how come it can't be more Reverend Pigmies out there and more Big Lessons? We'd be kicking ass out here taking names.
Oh yeah.
You know? but that ain't the case because we ain't teaching our children to be revolutionaries. And that's what I told the audience at the school I volunteer for. I volunteer every Wednesday up there because I'm trying to reach the young minds. I'm trying to teach them how to be young revolutionaries. If you out there listening, audience, go to your schools. Go to the elementary schools. Go to the middle school. More so the elementary schools. That's where you want to catch them when they're young minds. They formulate your young minds and teach them how to be young revolutionaries or just be around. Show them as an example of what a revolutionary looks like. And that's what I do when I go up there. And I was telling the parents, hey, you know, they don't understand. It's some hard times coming out here in the future. It's things going on that they probably don't even realize is going on. And,
mm-hmm.
and they need to teach their children to come to school and keep their mouth closed and their ears open, which that seems like to be a hard thing to do with the young people today. They act like they got to be seen. Why you got to be seen? Are we in this age where you got to be noticed, you got to be seen? No, even back in the day, we was incognito, okay? We tried to keep a low profile because we
right.
understood that you putting a spotlight on yourself, that's an attraction for them to come after you, okay?
Absolutely.
You keep a low profile.
And you may not be able to handle. You may not be handled.
Yeah.
When they put that pressure on you, they coming.
I know.
I'm telling you, this evil empire is coming after you. When they come and they have their tools in their toolbox, and they know what to do.
they know how to use them too, okay? Because they've been using them for over 100 years or more, okay?
Yeah.
They know how to bring people down in a systematic way. And like Ms. Dodds, I know the court's back behind them. They backing them. They have never really, truly been a law-abiding country. They have never been that. They have never fulfilled the law. Look at all of these the cities that they have destroyed in African America. What? Just think about all that economic power we would have had if they wouldn't destroy Tulsa, Rosewood, and many other communities like Black Bottom here in this city. If they would have just destroyed the economic foundation of a lot of African American communities, just to think how much money and influence we could have had in this country. But they didn't want that. We still got it, but we don't utilize it like we're supposed to. We got the money. We got money. Like Dr. Claude Anderson said, we got the money, but we don't utilize it in the proper manner. Guys like you should have a bankroll to support a lot of people in Benton Harbor. You should have that. You should have a benefactor that with the long pockets, with deep pockets. And we got them out there, but we become a materialistic society. We all about, like you were saying earlier, like the name brand items of the wear and to drive. That's a name brand. They out there, like you said. You said it. You hit the hammer on the nail, Rev. They out there trying to look rich and poor. I ain't never tried to do that. I have never been materialistic. You cannot sell me on anybody that's a racist, because most of those products are from racists. They get money from, they laughing at these little cocktail parties that they had at Black community, because all that stuff they buy and they don't need. Going out there getting your hair done, your nails done. What about the sacrifices? My mom made a great sacrifice for us. She didn't go out there and trying to get her nails done and her hair done every week. She was sacrificing. She was invested in her children.
Yeah.
And that's what they're supposed to do. Invest in your children. They are the future. And if you ain't invested in your children, you are a sample. Okay? That's right.
You know,
I'm calling them out.
And you're not doing nothing.
Not
I don't care how much you have. You ain't doing nothing. If you're not investing in your children, you're not busting a grape. That's what it is. You want to be all this in the bag of chips?
Well, I'm not talking about monetarily either. I'm talking about intellect. You teach them that.
Right.
You make sure that they know
absolutely.
How to read and take care of themselves.
Yeah. Oh man, I know one thing. When my dad came home from work, we had to have homework on that table. He could, he ain't eat no. We used to have to make up homework. I said, we ain't have no homework today. He said, make some up. He said, make some up, And that's why I'm good in math. I'm really, really good in math. That's what I used to do. And he was good in math, and that's what he liked. But he'll tell me come home from work. He ain't eat nothing until he have me and my two brothers homework on that table. If it ain't on that table, he just sitting there with his arm folded.
That's what I'm talking about, Ram. That's what I'm talking about. And there's a whole lot of children out there that's being starved because they're not. I was with this little 5-year-old. I asked her how old she was. She stuck up one finger, okay? I told her, you don't even supposed to be here if you're 1 year old. And I asked her how to write her name. When I was 5, I was writing my name. I was printing my name on paper, online paper.
Yeah,
see, but
we all,
that's
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, Rev. They not investing in their child in an academic way, and that's what they need to do. Because once they get that knowledge, that's the one thing that nobody can take away from you. Once you get it in their head, when that dome of yours, they can't take it away unless they kill you, okay? They can't take that education away from you.
Mm-mm.
But that's what I'm saying, Rev.
I tell you, I enjoyed this conversation, my brother. You right there. You right on top of. But hey, I just want to tell Annette, Gloria, next week you too. Be ready. Have some material for me. And when I call you, come on. Be ready to roll. Let's make it happen. And I really, really enjoyed all this today. I want to tell Denise we love you, and I tell you, we bigger now than ever before. We got now this is going to be played over 15 different radio stations around the country, and look, when we do the Sambo Award, we lining up for September,
October, September the 1st, we start getting people in August to vote for the Sambo of the Year Award, and then we have the Super Bowl in February, and this year it's going to be about 20 different radio stations, and everybody's going to put up $600, so it's getting to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm really, really impressed by how the turnout is. But look, don't forget, Annette, next Sunday, Gloria, next Sunday, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much, Big Les. You know, you my hero too. So you just hang in there and do what you need to do. And you ever need me, you call me. It's going down.
Okay, right.
And on that note,
brother. Hey. Okay.
All right. And on that note,
okay.
I'll see you all tomorrow, 1 o'clock.